Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
To the Tracy Sandler Show, brought to you by Fevo. I am your host, Tracy Sandler. Thrilled to welcome back to the podcast the funny, talented, smart, handsome, tremendous writer. We're really big on intros here at the Tracy Sandler Show. Tim Kawakami of The Athletic. Welcome back, Tim.
Thank you. Good to be on. Good to be on in our familiar StreamYard location. I'm talking Trace through this. This is what I use for my podcast. So very comfortable. Can't seem to get centrally located on this camera, but who cares? Let's just go.
Okay. Well, we'll just go. This is the first time with StreamYard. I don't think I've messed it up, so we're going to hope for the best.
Great.
But I think
doing great.
I think we're good. Much to discuss, Tim. Mm-hmm. As you may or may not know, this will come out Friday, but we're recording this Thursday, 3 weeks until the draft. I'm sure you're very well aware of that. There has been a little going on in 49ers world in this offseason, but I'm going to start with a topic that gets everybody's blood boiling one way or the other, and that is one Brandon Ayuk, wide receiver of the 49ers. He would like a contract extension. I am of the feeling it will get done. There have been trade rumors. John Lynch shot those down at the owners' meetings. As things stand right now, before we get into the nitty-gritty and the details, what does your gut tell you about Brandon Ayuk's status with the 49ers for 2024?
Yeah, with all these things, you always got to be open to the possibility that things break down. Right? You don't know. It's a potentially volatile situation, so... And who knew they were going to trade DeForest Buckner? Like, you know, right. 49ers fans are rightly always wary of that precedent. I think the 49ers are also wary of that precedent because it didn't work out. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, whatever indication, whatever thoughts they might have, let's get out from this big contract and we'll get somebody, we'll replace him with somebody younger. That did not happen with DeForest Buckner. And in a major way, Javon Kinlaw, they just thought they could just plop him right in there. And it I don't think they thought he was going to be maybe as good as Buckner, but would be a viable replacement. That just didn't happen. And Kinlaw's no longer 49er.
It's down to the last four teams. BetOnline has been your tournament bracket headquarters all March long. And now that we're almost down to the finals, we've still got a lot more in store. MLB is here and NBA, NHL playoffs are around the corner. As always, BetOnline is the number one source for your summer sports wagering. Head to BetOnline today to stay updated on all the action and remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
But I don't think the inclination is for them to trade him. I don't think the inclination is like they can't afford him. These things might end up being true, right? It just takes one offer, somebody in the top 12, 14, makes the offer, I think they would really consider it. Maybe might do it because they could get the receiver that they really felt good about. This is a great receiver draft. I don't think that offer is coming. Like, it's twofold, right? It's would they want to do it, which I don't think they do, because hey, it's not easy becoming a top receiver under Kyle Shanahan. We've seen him go through receivers. He's an old receiver. He's an old receivers guy. He's tough on receivers. We know what he requires out of them. And Ayuk has delivered to the highest extent, even through Debo's really great seasons. He's not a blocker, right? He's not a perfect route runner. Ayuk is those things. So the chances of just going, okay, let's go get another Brandon Ayuk with what, the 27th pick, the 34th pick, whatever. I mean, I don't even know if they'd get that, frankly. And I know 49ers fans got really mad at me for saying that in the Stephon Diggs trade. Then, listen, Bills didn't get, like, a first-rounder this year. They didn't get a first-rounder next year. They didn't get a second-rounder this year. They got a second-rounder next year, which is equivalent of a third-rounder this year. So I'm not saying IU because that's the only offer he might get, but it's going to be in that ballpark. Diggs is an older player, but he's incredible, incredibly productive. And so what, second-round pick for IU? Because that would 49ers do that? I don't see the value in that. And I don't see a team that needs a receiver saying, you know what, let's give up our top 15 pick when we could draft, you know, any one of the top five guys who are really good receivers. And then we turn around and pay Brandon Ayuk $24 million because they would have a year. They would have to. Like, that's what often gets forgotten in these trades is there's a contract coming. When you trade for a guy, you are essentially saying we will pay him what we have to pay him long term. Why would they do both things, give up the pick and pay Brandon Ayuk, when the 49ers, who frankly would want Ayuk more than any other team because he's been in the system. Right. Because, listen, a quarterback likes him. That's pretty important in this world, and there's a pretty important quarterback. He's worth more to the 49ers than anybody else. Again, it has to see what the market plays out. But just the logistics of this, the structure of this, is that there wouldn't get enough for him in a trade, probably. Again, we have to see, but probably. And he's a guy that's worth it to them. Like, he's a guy that's worth it to have on the team for four. What I wrote, and it's always posed to this way to me by the, like, 49ers people. So I don't want to get too aggressive with this. It's just talking logic. That the person that they did not feel comfortable with long term was Debo Samuel. That's why that one got really bad.
Well, so this is, you brought up a couple things that I wanted to get into, but I'll let you finish before we get into it.
Yeah, again, I don't think they're, you know, I think Debo took it as a demeaning thing during that negotiation. That's why that got hot. This is what I've written this. I've said it. There was some communication early on in the Debo process 2 years ago that he wasn't a guy they could give a five-year deal to. They didn't feel comfortable giving. And that's how you get the big money, right? You spread it out over a five-year deal. You amortize the cap hits, all these NFL things. And they weren't feel comfortable that he was going to still be valuable enough in year four, year five. Guess what? He got a three-year deal. That's a good number, but it wasn't an A.J. Brown number. It wasn't a Tyreek Hill number. This is just philosophical. That body, he's been banged up. You know, does get heavy at times. That's what they thought about Debo. And that made that super bitter for a while. Trade request, all those things. Doesn't mean Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers might not get bitter too, but they have not said that to him. They don't believe that. They think this is a player that will maintain his value into year four. You know, maybe not. It's hard. Any football player 5 years out, it's hard to say. But they don't have those concerns. Notice they have not restructured Debo's deal effort, right? It's not a deal you want to push out, right? Because what's he going to be like at 31, 32, 33? This is sometimes seen as a criticism of Debo. I think it's what it is. You know, and I think it was part of his expression was, listen, if you're going to have me run the ball and take all these extra hits, then you better pay me for this down the road. And the 49ers are like, no, we're not paying you for what you are giving up. We're paying for what your production is going to be. So again, that's a philosophical, problematic discussion they had with Debo. It took a lot to get through it. You do not have to get through those things with Brandon Ayuk. They don't feel those things about it. They think he's been super healthy for three seasons. He's missed one game in three seasons. I think that's correct.
It is. And it was this year. It was that Thursday night game. And it was a game that had they played on Sunday, he probably would have missed. It was a Thursday night game.
And as you look at, he's doing this, right? There is an upward mobility to his statistics. There was with Debo 2 years ago, too. It was, you know, coming off a monster year. But I think the wear and tear with Debo was kind of accumulating in their minds. That doesn't mean they're right. Debo might be great for another 5 years. I don't know. This is just their opinion. They do not have that opinion about, it's been stressed to me that they do not have that opinion about Brandon Ayuk. Again, does not mean he's signing anytime soon. Does not mean that there isn't going to be some really, really sticky moments. Because there always is. Certainly was for Bosa, right? Bosa, they were saying it. John Lynch's like, he's going to be a 49er. That's it. And that still got super, super intense all the way down to what, the Tuesday before the season opener. It might go like that for Ayuk. We'll see if he's holding, you know, I imagine he's not going to be at training camp, or maybe he'll show up and do a hold in. I don't know how, you know, that's a dynamic we'll have to see. Bosa had the, you know, the wherewithal to, you know, he certainly had the bargaining powers. I ain't playing, period. I'm not showing up. And then they had to deal with it. I just, the direction of this feels like a relatively contentious negotiation that gets done the first week of training camp. And they do have the dollars to do this because you have the quarterback on a super, super low deal for another year, probably more in the cap space because, again, his first year of a new deal is not going to be a high number. They never are. This is the way the 49ers do it. And I just feel like there's a number for this to happen. There really is. It's not going to be at the top of the receiver market. You have Tyreek Hill and other guys who put up the huge numbers, but you have a guy who's getting there. And should be in the top five, top seven, something like that. You look at his big plays, you look at his productivity, you look at, you know, I think he said himself on the podcast is like, what other receiver has been there for every single game has been in the Super Bowl twice, right? There just aren't guys who are on the field like that, who produce like that in the 49ers system. It's there. There's a way to this. Again, that doesn't mean that either side has to completely cave in, and I'm sure they won't. And it's entirely Brandon Ayuk's right to say, I want X number, and the 49ers' right to say, no, we think it's X number. And then it's up to the two sides to come to the middle. My point on the Ayuk leverage is, how would 49ers possibly replace him? What, with Danny Gray? No. This is not happening. And how are, you know, what is the vehicle that someone else is going to pay Brandon Ayuk $28 million. I don't see that either. Like, these are just those two things are opposite sides that will take time to come together in some negotiated way. It might get ugly. There might be social media flare-ups, as we know there have been.
Well, we've already seen a couple. We saw a little bit after the owners' meetings, after we sat and talked to John Lynch for 30 minutes and we all reported what he said about Brandon Ayuk and what they wanted to do and what they're doing. And Brandon Ayuk did the emojis in his Instagram story.
Poop emojis, Trace. Poop emojis. They count.
Poop emojis. Money talks. BS. We're a family show here. BS walks. And so
We're a family show.
We're a family show. We're a family show. The Trace Sandler show.
Right here. I got to change my mind here. There's going to be more of that. There always are.
There will. And I think we'll probably see him do what Debo and Bosa did, which comes through mandatory minicamp. And then we are not seeing that mandatory training camp, in my opinion, until a contract is signed. And I think you brought up Stephon Diggs. I think that gave everybody kind of a blueprint of what you could get. And you, as you said, Stephon Diggs is older, but he's also much more established than Stephon Diggs. And I know 49ers fans get upset about this. Stephon Diggs is a top 10 receiver. There's not even a question about that. He is a top 10 receiver, and you see what he commanded. You never know what happens on draft day when people, you know, start making deals, and you just never know what can happen. I think he will be on this team. But here's a question for you, and this might be a hot take. It might be a lukewarm take. It might be a really bad take, but I'm going to ask it anyway because it's my show, so I get to ask questions. When I look back at the DeForest Buckner trade, which, as we know, really did not work out, and I think you're right. I think the 49ers are shy to do it for that reason. They're not trading Brandon Ayuk. Is there any scenario where they are going to trade Debo Samuel?
Well, someone did raise that topic to me. I didn't put in the column because And, you know, it maybe gets aggregated here. I don't know what. I put it up on Threads and did not get aggregated. So who knows what all that is. But this is an NFL person, wise to the world, not involved in this negotiation, but is very aware of what's going on, like what's on the train, you know, what's on the circuitry out there that's underneath the surface. And I, you know, the text was, do you really think the 49ers would seriously consider Brandon Ayuk? And the question back to me was, what about the other receiver? You know, it's tough to see that. I mean, I've said next year, like they can get out and they might just cut him at the end of next year. And this is, again, it's a brutal, harsh NFL world. We're talking like we understand this is, you know, players' livelihoods. I don't want to be cavalier, but it is the way, you know, we just saw what happened to Eric Armstead. Like, this is be prepared for these. And I was told on that one, like, watch out for that one. I wasn't told, like, he, you know, I assumed that he might take the pay cut, but he didn't want to. So that's more power to him. And he got another deal. But this stuff is, be braced for this. And for Debo, I thought next season, because it's easier for the 49ers to get out of it financially that way. This year, my understanding is if they trade him or cut him, they would be paying him almost as much to not play for them on the cap than they would be to have him. So might as well just have him. He's a good player still. Like, if he wasn't a good player or if he was causing a problem, you know, Stephon Diggs probably was causing some problems in Buffalo. Yeah. That's when you take that hit. And I get it. I don't love it. You lose the value of the player, but I get it. I don't think, you know, obviously Debo is well-liked and really loved in that locker room.
He is loved.
Kyle Shanahan loves him. Like, there's reasons to still have him on this team, you know, in whatever he costs. But I was intrigued by that text. It was like, what about the other? You're like, there's a general understanding around the league. I'll just put it this way again. God, the fear of aggregation from the Tracy Sandler show. that this is not a long-term relationship. Around the league, I'm not going to say his name when I say it because then it'll just get aggravated. It'll aggravate me. It's that the Debo thing, especially since they acquired Christian McCaffrey, who does a lot of things. Now, it's great to have two of them, but do you need to pay both of them at the top of the market when maybe they're right at their peaks right now, and will not be in 2 years? Who knows? You know, these guys can be great in 2 years. You don't think they're going to be as great as they are in 2 years. That the long-term relationship is with Brandon Ayuk if they can forge it. That's the one. And it's not necessarily with Debo. I'll say the same thing for George Kittle. Aggregate me for that one too, but I'm not the only one saying it. Like, that's another one coming up. Not this season, but maybe next season. You know, like, if this is just the way the NFL works, and you should not have been shocked by the Eric Armstead. Once these guys start missing games,
they're
headed towards 30. They're just red lights flashing, and you know they can love it. They're not going to love any player more than they love DeForest Buckner, and they did make that move, and he was young too. So
he was. You know. Well, and I think with Debo, the thing that's intriguing to me, which, again, maybe we're going to get aggregated and aggravated.
Aggravate her, not me.
You can aggravate Tim. You can do however you want to do this. But the reason I bring it up is because, and this is just probably a really like big hot take, unless it happens, in which case you guys heard it here first on the Tracy Sandler Show, April 5th, 2024. It is a very deep wide receiver class. And the long-term relationship, it completely makes sense with Brandon Ayuk. I agree with everything you're saying, that you've heard everything I've heard, all the things. If you're a team and you look at the 49ers, you say you have Christian McCaffrey, they have Debo Samuel, maybe we do give up one of our top picks for a Debo Samuel, for a player like that, that does things that other receivers don't necessarily do, because it is such a deep wide receiver class and we can get a good guy later. I just wonder if the 49ers consider that before Ayuk. Who knows? Uses a lot of speculation, a lot of hypotheticals. But I agree. Yes, the paying him to not be on the team, basically the same as being on the team, doesn't make a lot of sense unless someone comes to them and is like, we are willing to give you our whatever pick.
Yeah, it's a problem. Debo. That one is, if, first of all, they wanted the top 15 or top 10, whatever they could get for Debo 2 years ago.
And they couldn't get it.
After his incredible season.
Yeah.
Incredible season. And they didn't get it. You know, they got, you know, the Jets were going to offer like 12 if the 49ers gave him their second round pick. And that was 2 years ago when he was younger. And now Stephon Diggs goes for a future second round pick.
Right.
I don't know what they would get offered. I don't know. I mean, I texted that to somebody last night. If this is what Stephon Diggs gets, you can get it right from him. Right? What would you get for Debo? And there was no answer because again, this is going to piss off Debo if he ever hears me, but I think it's a fourth round pick for Debo right now. I think it's you know, maybe a fourth this year and a fifth next year. You just look at the market and you look at a guy who has missed games and with receivers on the board. Like you can just go, I'm going to go get a receiver right now. I'm going to pay him $2 million a year. Why wouldn't you just do that if you think it's a deep class? So that's another issue with the Debo potential trade. So I don't think it's happening. I think he's good. You know, that's the number one.
Well, thing. He is good. And they can do the things that Kyle Shanahan likes doing that offense. He can do because he has Debo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey. It's not that he couldn't do a lot without them, but having both of them is a tremendous luxury. But we're just talking through scenarios. But I agree with you. He's good. And I just don't think now's the time. And these are decisions to be made next year. And so we'll move off them, Debo and Brandon Ayuk, a little bit. You brought up George Kittle, which leads me beautifully into one of my next topics, which is the 49ers tight end two, which I think they sent a pretty solid message to Cameron Latu that we do not think you're the guy. And there are other second year guys coming in. We don't think you're it because we just gave quite an offer to someone. The Lions match it, Brock Wright. It's really sad. I was excited to have two Brocks on one team. I had content ideas. Brock,
I think Brock Purdy said, listen, there will only be one Brock on this team, and it's me.
I had Brandon. All kinds of thoughts.
You know, Purdy's very much like that. He just throws it around and just say, forget it. I'm kidding.
No, he's definitely not. He's definitely not like that. And you brought something up earlier that I'll just touch on is that Brandon Ayuk and Brock Purdy have tremendous chemistry, and you are not taken away. Your guys,
it would be dumb. It would be dumb because that's your future.
That's your future. Tight end two.
Yeah, I'm going to give Lynch and Shannon credit. The third round pick on Law Two was terrible. And can't believe we were there. It's terrible. Like the guy dropped every single thing to him. Not physically gifted. It's like I just don't know how you can play this guy. Gets hurt on your list for the entire season. What they didn't do is, you know what? We used the high pick on him, so we're going to just count on him again. That's you know they don't do that.
No, they're good about that.
And, you know, you give him a shot at it. Certainly, maybe he's improved, but you don't count on your hopes. You count on what you saw. You count on realistic projections of the players. And even if it's after a year, you just don't keep rolling it out there. They're good about that. And I can't see how you would count on him. I can't see how you would count on.
And I don't know how you would improve when you haven't played all year. I mean, he's been hurt. And that's going back to the brutal part of the business. That's kind of the reality of it.
I would agree with that. And I'm getting texts on the A's as we talk here. So if I'm a little distracted, it's A's text.
That's okay. We can move into baseball in a few minutes.
I'm sure you'll be happy to talk about baseball.
Very happy. I love baseball.
I think that Charlie Warner isn't a huge loss, but it's an interesting loss, right? I mean, the second tight end who certainly wasn't going to get open for routes, but a nice, you know, blocker in there. They kind of tipped off. Like they didn't like take Kittle off the field. Like that's still like not a guy who was going to get Kittle routes, Kittle reps. No. That's what I think they really need. Instead of, you know, I know the two tight ends said it. No, you have two tight ends. You take a receiver off the field, or you take Juszczyk off the field. I'm sure they can do that. But what you really want is somebody who can give Kittle 15 snaps off. 10 snaps off, and they have not found that. He was banged up in the Super Bowl, and you know, I think there was a cost to that, and he does get banged up because he's such a physical player. They just want somebody to take that wear and tear off, and maybe this Detroit guy that they couldn't get was that guy. I don't think it's going to be Latu. Like they're on a search for those sort of things, but like I get a little like, hey, just do this. Well, then you're taking people off the field, you know, or you know, you do take, you know, you check off the field when you're playing Juwan Jennings. Like, you know, you just have to understand there's a plus and minus to all these things. So I think what they need is someone to give Kittle 15, 20 snaps, maybe two games. He's not going to play. You're not just throwing your arms up, but well, we don't got it. Like you want someone who is an answer there as a tight end, you know, option, you know, a guy that you can go, let's diagram a play for him. Five times a game, three times a game, you know, and right now it's zero times a game. So we'll see. But clearly, they're on the look for tight end. I would not be shocked if they try to draft another tight end. I mean, they drafted two last year, but I draft offensive linemen, tight ends, and linebackers if I was them.
I think they're going to
corner at least one corner.
At least.
They tend to do that anyway, and yeah. I would do it again.
There is a tight end coming out of the University of Michigan by the name of A.J. Barner that could be a good fit in that role, and they could get him later in the draft. So I'm just throwing that out there. He is a possibility. I don't know that they're going to draft him, but
Michiganers are you going to possibly get? You just kind of get.
I mean, if it were me, I'd use every pick. They have someone who could fit every position they need.
That freaking team did last year. So we shall see. We'll see if anybody ends up in L.A. with those guys. Although Harbaugh has not tended to sign a bunch of his guys. He doesn't do that, which is, again, I credit that because everyone thinks this is his college team. So he's going to want to import his college team. No, it's a different league. Things are different. I think Owen Marisic was the only Stanford guy that he really wanted with the 49ers, and they lasted for like 4 days. And that was a fight between he and Trent Baalke about doing it in the first place. So I don't know that he's just going to import.
He won't, but out of the 18 guys, I'd be surprised if one of them does not end up with the Chargers. Yeah, it's a little bit of it's a different team than that Stanford team. But I think there's just so many of them. Just out of the 18, it would be surprising if he didn't draft.
I agree.
So we shall see. I'd be out of the 18. I think the 49ers could end up with one of them. But
there's so many of them. They're all so tough. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. They fit the Harbaugh, the 49ers. Mm-hmm. Like, there's certain teams that they just fit because they're all so tough. They're not, you know, five stars, blue chips. They're not all that, but they just play tough football. And those are guys that you can see on the San Francisco 49ers. They love that stuff, right? They're with the gold star, the gold helmet, whatever they say. Like, they're those kind of guys. Team captains, all that stuff. So, we're talking Michigan football, Trace. Who would have shot?
I don't know what I'm going to do after the draft. Because going into the draft, I'm able to get it into every podcast. After the draft, well, I guess in theory, if they draft one of them, then I'll have that. And then I'll like rookie mini camp, and then there's going to be a lull, I think, probably. But the one I want the most, or I want mainly from a I think he's a great player, obviously, but also I think in terms of predictable picks and who from this Michigan team would be good to add in with Jake and Ronnie every week. And Mike Zammerstil. He's also incredible nickel, and everybody loves Mike Zammerstil, and it's going to be hard.
That's going to be hard because they might not take – if they draft him, they don't draft the offensive lineman. And I think they're going to draft an offensive lineman. I like him a lot. Yeah, that's a guy I like a lot. But
well, everybody likes him. That's
playmaker. Playmaker and a secondary who can hit. And
he can also play – I mean, he started his career as a receiver. Like, he's got versatility.
There was another Harbaugh guy who did that, started his career as a receiver, and ended up as a great defensive back. I'm trying to remember.
Sure. Yes, there was one. Yeah, yes, there was. I think this one wanted to move to DB, but yes.
Very quiet person, doesn't have a podcast now or anything. But
yeah,
Richard Jones.
Yes, correct. So we'll see. But that brings up a point. So I had a guest on the other day, and we talked about the pick at 31. I've seen mock drafts actually from your colleague, Matt Barrows, with the 49ers trading up. It was a really good one. Really, really good one. We will plug that. Trading up to get Mims, offensive lineman. And he's fantastic, and I think he's a really good fit with 49ers. My guest the other day felt like the 49ers were actually going to trade back and get more picks with that pick at 31. He made a good point. We talked a lot about it, but as time has gone on, I'm like kind of the mindset that they do need an offensive lineman, and that's probably what they're going to do. But do you see a scenario where potentially they do trade back? If they get to a point where anybody they really wanted is gone and they feel like they can get the same later as they could at 31, do they trade back for some more picks?
There's always a chance of that. I think it's less likely because tackle is the obvious need position, and you don't move back for tackles. There's five or six that I think you can foresee being NFL starters, and then after that, the tackle is just not a drop off position. It's just not like, you know what, we can go get a corner, nickel corner in the fourth. You can't. We can get a running back in the fifth. You can't say that about tackle. It's just historically proven. There's just certain elements of that position in the NFL that you need premium talent or else you're scrambling for it. Colton McKivitt's not a first round pick, obviously plays it fine, but they're scrambling for it.
Yeah.
This is just not where you do that because it's that position. much like pass rusher. It's like those two ones. Like, it's really hard to get Pro Bowl level or quality starter level if you're moving back, unless you get really lucky. And I just don't see that. I mean, it's possible you get like the guy you want at 31, like Barrows. I think more likely they got some extra picks. It's not crazy draft pick value to, you know, throw a third in or whatever you have to.
No, they need him. And they got to start preparing for Trent Williams to not play anymore.
Exactly. This is a year where you can say that you might get one of those guys at 24, at 22. Mm-hmm. There's some mocks where they get on the 31. It depends on who they like, where they think he's going to go. You know, I just, there's 6'7" guys who have a lot of talent, who, you know, Guyton from Oklahoma, you said Mims from Georgia. There's some other guys. Like, this is the year to get them right when they have to get them. So why would you screw around with that? I wouldn't mess around with that. You know, the year that they had the two picks, they did move up for Ayuk. That was also from 31. Like, it's just, if you got a guy you want, I don't know, and you're who they are, and you need specialized real talent to try to keep, you know, try to go back to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I just don't think you mess around with that. That's me. They've got picks. It's not like they need more picks. You might want more premium picks, but they've got picks. I would not do that, because then you start, well, then what if the tackle you think you're going to get early in the second, somebody else jumps ahead of you and grabs?
This isn't the year.
It's better to go get guys, I think, in the 49ers position than just go for quantity and go, oh, we'll get our guy here in the second. I'll get a guy in early in the third. I think the need for a tackle is so immense. It's so specific that you either think you're going to get him at 31 or you move up to 23, 24 and go get the guy you like. It tends to work out better that way. For a playoff team, for a team that isn't just trying to add depth, they need a good right tackle. And that right tackle is likely going to be their eventual starting left tackle, two incredibly important positions.
Absolutely. And this is, like you said, this is a team that wants to get back to the Super Bowl. This is not the year to mess around. And they're in a good position. They don't need that many things, but what they need badly. And that is a position they need. So I agree with that. I thought it was a good mock by Barrows, and that made a lot of sense. Not to mention, Amarius Mims is kind of a really cool name. And I know that they don't make draft picks based on that, but I went, you know, all things being equal.
Yeah, it works. It works. You know, 6'8". Again, you know, you don't want to just measure, you know, have measurables be the whole thing here, but it looks like a guy who could start at right tackle and at least compete at right tackle for McKivitz. And as I've said since the end of the Super Bowl, then move McKivitz to right guard. It solves two positions right there. And I think he's a solid player. He's just not a pure tackle.
No.
And you get Burford out of there or have Burford compete. Like, there's all sorts of interesting things you can do if you can get a real right tackle there and coach him up. Chris Forster, coach him up if he needs it. And you just give somebody that they can feel comfortable with this season at right tackle and down the road at left tackle. These are just like that left tackle is like that is the, you know, if you talk about the existential threat to them is what do they do when Trent Williams isn't playing anymore?
To start preparing for it.
Yeah. You don't know exactly when Trent's going to retire. You don't know when, you know, or you just don't know, but you better be prepared for it because I don't know how you replace him. I didn't know how they were going to place Joe Staley, and then boom, they went and got Trent Williams, which was a feat of magic, kind of, or a gift from Washington. But I just don't know how you do that without a couple years planning. And this is the year to do it. So don't get cute. Just go get the guy you like. And if it's you got to go to 18 and it costs you maybe next year's one, listen, that gets a little scary. And we know the last time they gave up a future one or multiple future ones, it didn't work out. But you also still got to, you know, again, I give Shanahan and Lynch credit for this. Like they stick to their guns. Like they believe what they believe and they go do it. And if it doesn't work, you figure it out and recalibrate and you luck into Brock Purdy.
There you go. I think the other benefit of Mims, of course, that he comes from a school like Georgia and he's been through it. He's played in big games and you have I'm not a professional, but to me, you have an NFL caliber starting right tackle. And I agree with you, don't get cute. And they're not going to get cute. But this brings me to the next point I want to talk about before we end on baseball, because we're going to end on baseball. Sorry, Giants fans. That way you guys can listen all the way through. And then if you want to turn it off for the end of it, I totally understand. But this will be Lynch and Shanahan's first draft without Adam Peters. And I don't know that the casual fan, which is fair, why would they, realizes what a part of this Adam Peters was and how important he was, excuse me, to the draft. How do you think that factors in? Does it factor in? Am I making too big a deal of it? Who's to say? But I do think it matters, and it will change things. He was a huge part of this.
He ran the draft, basically, right? I mean, yeah, this still was John Lynch and Charles Shanahan's picks, but the information, the feel of it, the feel of the moment was Adam Peters. We know he's a really bright guy. We know that he had some great picks. Fred Warner. I mean, we can go down the list. Now, listen, they weren't great. They haven't been great at the top, right? So
no. You
give Adam Peters his flowers for that. I always want to say that, give somebody his flowers. I think I'm on a podcast. I have to. I'm indebted to. But there weren't some great picks either, right? I mean, so let's be fair about that. But that's Lynch and Shanahan. It's all on Lynch and Shanahan with Peters' help. They have bumped other guys up. We'll see. You know, we don't know. Maybe these were key guys throughout. I think, there's a process that the 49ers go through. The coaches are heavily involved on the tape, heavily involved in decision-making to fit what they do, to fit the scheme. It'll be interesting. Brandon Staley clearly had an influence on free agency. We'll see if there's an influence on how they draft defensive players, who they draft defensively. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. I just don't know. There's not going to be somebody like Adam Peters, because there's only one Adam Peters.
Correct.
And we'll see what, I'm interested. They have that pre-draft presser, and Peters kind of showed up for the last one, last two maybe. And that was kind of his
last year he came post-draft too. He and Tarek came in to talk to us.
You know, and that's going to be who do they move out there? How do they discuss it? It'd be interesting. There's always an interesting byplay with Shanahan, the coaches, because obviously Kyle is the number one decision maker. He does not go totally into the draft, but he still has his wishes. And I think there have been at times the scouts have gone, you know what, this guy's a little bit strong-willed on this stuff. Mm-hmm. But that's also good. You don't want weak-willed, weak people. Kyle is certainly not a weak opinion guy. We'll have to see all that works, but it will be a change. It will be definitely a change for John Lynch. I think that's how does John Lynch deal with this, not having his main guy, is the guy that this first hire, right? That was his first hire out of, because he knew him from the Denver Broncos when Lynch did some kind of freelance work for them. And he just, I want this guy to my side. So we'll see how it all works. I think, Peters and Lynch had very similar ideas of what they liked in players. That's why it's gonna work. Maybe a different sort of view will be good. I don't think they mind creative tension. I don't think they mind some interesting discussions. I know Kyle doesn't. I know that for a fact. And we'll see how it works. I don't know. I want to hear what names are mentioned. Does John say, well, Tarek really liked this guy? Does he say stuff? That's when you really know there's influence and they're acknowledging the influence. And they definitely said that about Peters.
Yep.
They definitely have said that about a few others. Let's see what they say. Maybe not in year one, but maybe. And who comes kind of the forefront of this? This operation's lost a lot of talent, right behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Rand Carthon, we know the names. Peters, Mayhew, right? They've lost some brain power, but there's always new guys. And let's see how good they are at picking the next guys. And this is the first time John Lynch will be going into a draft, without Adam Peters. Certainly capable of running it without him. Let's see how it goes.
All right. Trigger warning for Giants fans. We are going to talk some baseball. We're recording this Thursday. This would be the morning after a couple of things happen. Shohei Ohtani hit his first home run as a Dodger, first of many. It was the morning after, I'm making this so dramatic, the morning after the Dodgers swept the Giants. The season's not even a week old, and I am turning this into a World Series victory. But
that team down there is pretty good, I think.
They're pretty good. And we are so early in the season, and this is the thing with baseball season. But I think what we've seen in the last week is that they are very good, and they are probably a cut above. And I think for Giants fans specifically, who've had a tumultuous offseason and, you know, going into the season, I saw a lot of some of our colleagues on Twitter, some Giants fans on Twitter say, okay, I'm okay with a 2-5 start. That LA team is just yeah, better than everybody, right? At least right now. But
especially, you know, those first three guys, like you get beat by those first three guys, by Betts, Freeman, and Otani. I was like, what are you going to do?
Well, but the other thing I feel like, even so, last Friday against the Cardinals, Freddie Freeman and Shohei Ohtani go 0-8. The Dodgers still win 6-3. Like right now, Teoscar, I hope I'm saying it, Teoscar Hernandez looks like the greatest pickup of all time. I mean, he had four home runs in four games. And I think that's the thing. Your fourth hitter is Will Smith, but then you're going down this line of guys that somewhere else would be at the top of the lineup. And that's what I think. I think Ohtani and Hernandez, aside from their production, make everyone better because you can't not pitch to everybody. And Gavin Lux is their ninth hitter. That's bananas.
It's a long lineup. It's a dangerous lineup. It's not all going to be like that for the Dodgers. No. It just won't be. And even if it is, they could go in the playoffs and lose, right? I mean, these are like, I have a really big Giants fan, a good friend of mine. He's texting like, oh, it looks they're so far apart from the Dodgers. Like, yes, you didn't know that? Like, that was the case with the Diamondbacks last year, by the way. It was the case with the Padres 2 years ago. They beat them in the playoffs. Like, you know, it just, like, the way this is set up is kind of anti, like, a team like that, because they're so good. They can line it up for the regular season, and then they got to go into a short series, and if the pitching blows up, then they're in trouble. Or,
well, but that's where Mookie Betts
has one bad series, they're in trouble, and this happens. Right. If you're a Giants fan, if you're the Giants themselves, I don't think you come out of this demoralized. You say, play the Dodgers pretty good for a couple games, and still they went off. They still got Betts doing what he's doing. They still got all the things they got. Glasnow was overpowering for much of it until the later innings, but they got Giants have more talent than they did last year. It's just you have to view it on that prism. And then when they get Cobb and when they get Snell in there, and I think Snell was somebody they would have liked to pitch in this series, and he just wasn't ready. That's the way the signing goes. But they have ways, and they get Cobb back. They have ways to feel good about themselves later in the season. And can they get that wild card spot? And then can either the Dodgers get eliminated before they play the Giants, or can the Giants go up against them with this rotation? I think they can, and then we'll see where the Dodgers' rotation is at that point. And I've talked a lot about this with Dylan on my North or South podcast. Is who knows? Like, who knows what the Dodgers' rotation is going to be at that point? It might be incredible. They might have, you know, they might have Bueller back. They might, you know, like, who knows? But Glasnow has not pitched a lot of innings in his career. I mean, neither has Snell, but Snell's done it at a higher level than Glasnow. Like, for the Giants, you go, are we in the same dimension as the Dodgers? Don't have to beat them. Probably can't do it. You know, certainly can't do it in a 162-game season. In the same dimension. And then if you do face them in a short series, are you lined up to be able to compete with them? And I think the Giants can feel okay about that, even after getting swept. They've got some weaknesses. They've got some things you're not sure about. The bullpen doesn't look great, but they're on the same planetary system as the Dodgers. And I don't think I would have said that last year.
No, definitely not. I think the difference for the Dodgers, at least from my perspective, and again, it is early April and we got a long way to go in this thing, but the pitching was a concern the last two seasons and last year entirely. I mean, the fact that they got lost so badly in the playoffs was not surprising to me. I was surprised they did as well as they did. It was their kind of, for them, the idea was their down year. They were putting everything into getting Ohtani. But I think they have a much better pitching staff. And by October, if they do have Bueller back, if they have Gonsolin back, if they have Dusty May back, if they got Blake Treinen coming out of the bullpen, I mean, they have some real good potential. But we are very early in this thing. We have a very long way to go. But it was just...
Was that their closer? Is that their closer, Lamette, whatever? I didn't know that.
No, their closer's been Evan Phillips, because they had a bullpen game on Tuesday. The bullpen, Evan Phillips had pitched so much the last few days. They put Lamette in there, who pitched really well, who had a very rough last season last year, had an ERA over 11, came in and just closed them right out. So I think that's also, I guess, encouraging for the Dodgers.
You never know with the Dodgers closer, right? You never know.
Never know. Like, but Evan Phillips has, for the most part, been really reliable. And if they get Blake Treinen back, then you have some, and there's some, in theory, he's been injured a very long time, but in theory, you have him back. But we'll see. We got a while for this, and then we go from there. All right, Tim, please let everybody know where they can find you.
TK Show, which also has 49ers Plus Minus with the aforementioned Matt Barrows, and also North and South, Lily Times, Dylan Hernandez, all in the same Odyssey feed, the TK Show. I think I write occasionally at another operation, but I won't tease that. Let's just do podcast stuff. And okay. Also appear occasionally on the Tracy Sandler Show, which is all good. Get aggregated on the Tracy Sandler Show.
Aggregated, don't do it. Aggregated and aggravated. You guys, you can find me on Twitter at TracyFGSN, on Instagram at Tracy Sandler. We are brought to you by Fivo. We are brought to you by Bet Online. If you like what you heard, please make sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a super positive review. And with that, I will talk to everybody next time. Bye all.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.